Boker Tov world. Today's daf in Masechet Sanhedrin brought to you from Yerushalayim Yirat Kodesh is daf Samach Vov, and we're holding at the Halakha Mishnah HaMechallelet HaShabbat. So we're moving on to the other Chiyuvei Skila, and we've left behind Avodas Kerchovim and the various weird beliefs and practices associated with the same. And we're moving on now to other chiyuvei skila, such as a mechalel at a Shabbat. Now, of course, the only chiyuv skila would be on those things, b'dover shechayavina zdono karet val shigigato chatat. If you have a true malacha, and that means, obviously, it has to be melechas machshavas, it can't be talking about amitat seik, and it's something that is usur and is also one of the things that you would bring a chatas for, which means that it's a chiyuv kares, if done here, if it's done without hatra'ah, if it's done without hatra'ah, then the mechalel Shabbat is a niska. But what exactly is this Mishnah getting so concerned about? What, are there other things? I mean, can't you just say a mechalel Shabbat? Is there a chilul Shabbat where there is no chiyuv of kares and chatas b'shoge? V'chalal d'hikamidi d'chilul Shabbat? That is actually Chilul Shabbat Havi, but it's not Chayav and Ashiyot Ochatat Vazdano Karot. What is that? Well, a couple of possibilities. It could be Tchumim. Now, the Isser of Tchumim, of going outside of the Tchum, it's true it's a Machloket, whether it's a Drabon and Diraita, but according to Rabbi Akiva, it is a Chilul Shabbat, but there's no Chiv of Echatas, Kores, it's a Lav. And it could also be, according to Rabbi Yossi, remember, we said, what was the reason for Lo Tevaru Eish B'chol Moshvotechem B'yom HaShabbat? What was that adding? That was coming to tell me, according to Rabbi Yossi, L'lav Yatzat. So according to him, Ahav Ora is not one of the malachas that you would be chayiv, the kares and the chatas. And therefore, when we're talking about something that is only chiyuv chatas and kares, it means, but not havara. That's what it would be teaching us, Aliba the Rebbe Yossi. And now we move on to give, my goodness, this is a tough day, let me tell you. We're missing both a Richie and a Doc. I don't know what we're going to do. You guys are going to have to settle for my Zok the Halakha Mishnah. Oh, my goodness gracious. Of course, we could get a Hasidish Zok the Halakha Mishnah, but we would need to have the Rebbe present. Things are going from bad to worse. All right, Zok the Halakha Mishnah. HaMekalel Aviv V'Imo. Now, here we also have another one of the Chiyuvei Skila, and we're going to see how do we know that that's a Chiyuvei Skila, but you would hear also not Bichayev, Achi Kalalim B'Shem. You would have to use one of the Shemot, of the true Shemot, you would Kevovke, or you would use the Shem of Adnus, but Kilel and Bekinui, there Rabbi Meir would be Machayev, and the Chachomim would say your Potter. So if somebody would say, God damn you, or something to a Avi V'Imo, that's Kilel and Bekinui. According to Chachomim, you would be Potter in that case. Man Chachomim. So who exactly are these Chachomim that we are referring to? Because we're not really familiar with the drushes of the Psukim to that extent. Says the Gemara, that's Rabbi Menachem Rabbi Yossi. Take a look at the Braita that explains the Mokar in the Torah for the Shita of Rabbi Menachem Rabbi Yossi. And it is as follows. The Tanya, Rabbi Menachem Rabbi Yossi Omer. It says in the Pusik, remember we darshened this Pusik before, but for a completely different purpose. The Pusik says, very strangely, it opens with the word V'nokev Shem Hashem Mot Yumat, and it says Beferish Ragom Yergamu Bokoloida, and it ends with V'nokvo Shem Yumat, which is, of course, totally repetitious. You started with the word V'nokev Shem Hashem. So before, what did we use this Pusik for? To tell me that you're eno chayev until you are mevorech b'shem b'shem. That's yake yosi et yosi. And this was based on this pasuk of the repetitive b'nokvo shem yumat at the end and b'nokev shem at the beginning. So that means you use a shem to be mevorech as a shem. But Rabbi Nachum b'Rabbi Yossi does not agree with that, and he learns that you would be chayev even without using a shame to be mekalel the shame. So even if you would just say, you know, be blessed, the name should be blessed, that would be enough. You're not using another shame to be mevarech the shame. And therefore, he has this pasuk extra. And so he says that extra pasuk that says shame, that is limed. So Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Menachem, Rabbi Yossi says limed on bekalel ovi ve'imai, she'eino chayev, ad she'ekalelem b'shame. So this is the shita that we're saying, according to the Chachomim, that you would be potter. Otherwise, why did the Torah have to stress that it has to be the no-kev shame, which means that it's one of the real shemais? Tana Rabbana, ish, ma tamud lomar, ish, ish. So where it says, ki ish, ish asher yekalel et aviv et imo, mot yumat, then it repeats, aviv v'imo kilel. Very interesting, because it's the same type of repetitive statement that we had by Kilelas Hashem. And here it says, aviv v'imo kilel, tamav bo. So first of all, why does it repeat the word ish twice? Ish, ish. That's the rabot, bat, tumtum, vandrogenes. So if we're talking about an ish that we need, as we'll see, to be motzi, the extra ish is in order that we not mistake that to mean that it's only if it's a regular male, ish. But what if it would be a daughter? Or for that matter, would be one of these modern new sexes, let's say a tumtum or an androgynous, you know, pre-Trump era. So what would be the din over there? Kamashmalan, those are also people, believe it or not. And therefore, we have an extra ish, ish. So that's the rabbis tumtum androgynous, if they curse their parents. Then it says, Asher kalel et aviv ve'et imo. This is amazing because these are all the psukim that you're doing now in preparation, I'm sure, for being mavir of the Parsha, reading the Parsha with Rashi. He goes through all of these Gemaras, right? So we're very much at home here. So if it says, aviv ve'et imo, that sounds like he has to curse father and mother, both. So imei ela aviv ve'imo. But how about if he only is mekalel aviv, who is not his mother, without a mother, or imo, without a father? Minayin. Therefore, the Torah repeats in that pasuk, aviv v'imo kileo tamav bo. So what we have over here is, first, we have aviv kileo, imo kileo. This teaches us either way, because in the beginning of the pasuk, we find the word kileo next to aviv. Kalel aviv. And in the last part of the pasuk is imo kilel. So if you put the two together, what do you get? Aviv kilel, imo kilel. Which means that either way, the chiyav would be exactly the same. Divrei Rabbi Yoshia. Now, this is very famous machlokas, because it becomes the model for a machlokas all over the Torah. According to Rabbi Yoshia, we always need something to teach us that a vav and does not mean vav only, and that the vav means and slash or. But according to Rabbi Yonatan, and always means and slash or, unless it specifies otherwise. So Rabbi Yonatan Omer, no. The fact that it says aviv imo would be mashma automatically, both of them together, or mashma echad bifnei atzmo, so it would be father and mother, or father or mother, unless the Torah specifies both. And of course, where do we have both? Well, lo tacharosh b'shor uvechamor yachdav. Exactly. So I want to tell you not to do something with A plus B, then I have to add the word together to make it clear that it's A plus B and not and or B. And therefore, until you hear yachdav, you have to assume that it would mean either of the above. And then it says mot yumat, but it doesn't say how mot yumat, but says the Braita, obviously that means biskila. Well, you say it means biskila. I mean, how do we know that? Oeinu ela b'chat mikol mitot ha'amurot b'Torah. It might be any of the arba mitot, right? And here again, we have our favorite drasha for skila, Neemar kan damav bo, v'neemar lahalan by Ovid Oni, to mehem bam. And therefore, ma lahalan, just like by Ovid Oni, it's beskila, af kan beskila. Okay, so now I know that there is a chiv of misa, of skila for kilolat av or kilolat em. But where did the Torah say not to do that? Where's the azora? You cannot have an onesh if you don't have an azora. So onesh shamanu, but azora minay. Talmud lomar, Elohim lo tekalel. Don't curse an Elohim. So what does that mean? Well, look, if your father, let's say, was actually an official judge, so he's a Dayan. A Dayan is called Elohim. So then that would cover cursing under that circumstance. Now let's say your father is a Melech or a Nasi. Well, he would be included in Nasi ba'amcha lo to'or. How about if he's just a regular guy? Eino lo Dayan v'lo Nasi. So where would be the makar for not to curse? We know the chiv, but where would it say don't? Well, hareyata dan binyan av mishneyem. Couldn't you actually put the two together and make a common denominator? So you could say it like this. Look, a nasi is not like a dayan, and a dayan is like not like a nasi. In what sense? Well, a dayan is not like a nasi because I understand that the Torah would be very angry at me for cursing a dayan, and therefore it says don't curse a dayan. But you know what? Maybe that's because ata mitzuveh al hora'ato. You have to respect that dayan because if he gives you a hora'ah about a din, you're going to have to be makbid on that din. And then somebody who doesn't listen to the dayan ultimately could even be chayev. As a Zakin Mamre, could even be Chayav Misa, you know. Maybe that's why you're not supposed to curse the Dayan. And on the other hand, if the Torah would have told me a Nasi, I would have, okay, a Nasi is different. I mean, a Melech, there's a din of Hamra'ah. Lore Nasikri Dayan Sha Nasi, Atametzuvah Hamra'ato. After all, the Torah says, Kosh, Yamres, Picha, Yumat. I mean, there's a special din over there, like we spoke about before, Moreid b'malchut. And therefore, maybe that's why the Torah was so marked. But you don't have that with a Dayan. Kireiya Dayan, shiata mitzuvah l'amrato. So what's the bottom line? What's the common denominator? The tzadah shava shebehen is that, look, both of these are ba'amcha. They're members of your people. They keep the mitzvahs, and they act like a ben bris. Vatamuzara kilolatan. So if your father is like that, then he too should be included from this basic limud of the common denominator, which is called a binyanav. So we'll make a structure in which we will have a set. This is the set of all people ba'amcha, and we create the set out of the two examples, which we're then able to find the common denominator. That's binyanav. Remember what an av means. It's the top of the set. The name of the set is the Av. So, no, says the Gemara, come on. I mean, can't you find another common denominator between a Dayan and a Nasi, for heaven's sakes? I mean, isn't there an obvious Sadar Shabbat Shabbat is that they share the fact that they have a particular position which makes them special. Shekein gedula tangar malem. I understand. You want to tell me that anyone that has an official government position, let's say, you'd want to say something like that. You can't tell me that any person, any Tom, Dick, and Harry, is going to also be included in this. Where do we see that the set is that big? So maybe only places where kein gedula tangar malem, the common gedula, not the personal relationship. Talmud Omar, you're correct. That's why the Torah had to add an additional member to the set, which now expands it to include everyone. Because it also says, Lo tekalel chayresh. Don't curse someone who is deaf. Now, generally, people are mevaza. The person who's walking around is a deaf mute. He doesn't communicate. He seems to be mentally challenged. So, Bu'um lalim sheba amcha katuv medaber. The Torah is saying, do not curse the lowest class person that people, the kids may be laughing at. That's usur. So if that's the case, it's clearly not limited to people who have high positions and they're gedulatan. So put it all together. And what do you get? you get a general set of anyone but Amcha, you're not allowed to curse. Well, not, maybe not. I mean, maybe you'll say Malach Eresh, Shekin Harishato Garmalo. Let me speak out the Limud. Maybe the Torah B'davka wants to protect people that are unable to protect themselves, and therefore it says, don't curse him. No, you know that that's not true, because it says Nasi V'dayan. Obviously, it's not only the lowest person. Well, the Nasi V'dayan is different, because Gedula Tan Garmalahem. Okay, but that's not true, because we see that the Cheresh is also included. So therefore, Chazar Hadin, it would now go to find a common denominator. Lori Zekri Zev, Lori Zekri Zev, and therefore, bottom line, common denominator Tzara Shove is Shehin Ba'amchava Tamuzal Kelolatan. There are members of Klal Yisrael. You're not allowed to curse them. Afani Avi Avicha. So fine, you're not allowed to curse your father simply because you're not allowed to curse anybody. That's all. So now, if there's an onish that says if you were over on that Isser of cursing, and it is of your father or mother, then there would be a chiyuv. Well, couldn't I still say that these two sides of the matzah, on the one hand, people who are uniquely special, they're very choshev. On the other hand, are people who are uniquely special because they're very vulnerable. So maybe only special people, either highly vulnerable people or people that you need to protect their kovod, which is a different level of vulnerability. You know, so then how do you have a binyan av? I don't see that this is the set of all members of Bnei Brit that are members of Amcha. All right. Let's try something else. If it meant what you're saying, that it's only for special people, so then the Pasuk would have said either Elohim or and a Cheresh or a Nasi and a Cheresh. In other words, you need to have the two extremes over here in order to say it your way. Special people, either because of the vulnerability, because of their inability to protect themselves, or the vulnerability because of the fact that they are so incredibly important that anything at all damages the sense of respect. Okay, but people in the middle, not. That's what you're saying. Only special people. But they would have to be the outliers. So either on one end or the other end. But if that were the case, why do I need to have two examples of the special people of the sort that is special because they're so extremely important? Why do we need Nasi and Dayan? You could just have two examples, one of the super-duper important people and one of the super-duper vulnerable because of weakness people. And then you could just say either Dayan and Cheresh, or you could say Nasi and Cheresh. You certainly don't need both Nasi and Dayan, do you? So in kein nichtov kra, either Elohim v'Cheresh or Nasi v'Cheresh. So why do I need to throw in, if I already have a Nasi, why do I need to throw in Elohim? Therefore, if I have no way of understanding it as referring specifically to this, because I would have a Matzad, and I kick in with another general concept of how to do drushes in the Torah, which is called im eino inyan. So there's a classic im eino inyan. Im eino inyan agufo. It doesn't add anything in terms of its actual setting to the general rule. Then it must be coming to expand even into the din of your father. It doesn't mean your father particularly. It means into anyone. So it expands the set into anyone, like we said, who is a ben brit be'amcha. Now, there's a bit of a problem with this, because the word Elohim, you're taking for granted that Elohim means a Dayan. But what if Elohim means God? What if this is the Azhara against the Megadev being Mekalal as Hashem, being Mevorach as Hashem, as we say, right? So this whole discussion only works if you're telling me that an Elohim is a Dayan. So Ani Chalamad Yom Elohim Chol. According to those who say that the word Elohim here is a secular word, does not mean Kedusha. It's not a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, then it works. But what about according to the Mandi Omar, who holds that this word Elohim is actually a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's Kodesh. So then you don't have any extra words. So there, Ma'ika Lomema, what are you going to say according to that? Then you're saying there's basically three. Don't curse God. Don't curse a melech or a nosi. And don't curse someone who's deaf. But you don't have any eno inyan here of an extra pasuk, an extra word in the pasuk. So where are you going to derive this broad set of anyone ba'amcha? And I know that this is a machlokas. Take a look at this. D'tanya. Here's one example of that machlokas. We're going to see another example. D'tanya. The Elohim is chol. That's just a regular, refers to a regular judge. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva says Elohim is Kodesh, and it's a reference to the Megadeth. It's talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Well, there's another price. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer. How do we know in Azara Lemevarechet Hashem? Where does it say in the Torah that the Megadeth, it says Hashem Megadeth, Yikaret, Yikaret, and yes, but where does it say not to be Megadeth? Talmud Lomar, Elohim, Lo Tekalel. Which means that it's the word Elohim is referring to the Megadeth, the Mevarechet Hashem. So therefore, that means that Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov agrees to Rabbi Akiva that the word Elohim here is actually Kodesh, a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what are you going to say according to the Man D'Omar that Elohim here is just a judge? So then I have no problem. Because I don't need another pasuk to tell me don't curse God. I mean, if you're telling me I cannot curse an Elohim, which is sort of a representation of the concept of din in the power of din, so then obviously it's sort of a remez to the source of all din and all power, which is really Elohim Kodesh, right? So then I could learn out. Kal v'chomer, if I'm not allowed to curse a Dayan, then obviously the Azara would apply to the Dayan Shebedayonim, Kivayocho, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I would say that according to Rabbi Akiva, according to Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, if you hold Elohim as Kodesh, so I could learn out a Dayan from Elohim. Well, what are you talking about? The first part you said is, yes, makes sense. And then you throw in this extra throwaway line, and we're supposed to believe it? Bishlam alaman diomra Elohim chol. Fine, I understand. If the pasuk means you can't even curse a judge, so that's a local god, so to speak, so then obviously I can learn out a real Kodesh from chol. But if you're telling me that Elohim means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then how in the world would I learn? Because the Torah says it's usher to curse HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so therefore I could say you're not allowed to curse your local judge? How does that follow? Well, Laman Di'om Elohim Kodesh, how do we learn out Chol Mi Kodesh? Maybe Dafka, the Torah was mazir on Kodesh because of the terrible thing of doing a klol on Kodesh, but maybe Di'oma Kodesh azir, but Acholo azir. You see, because the word itself implies that we're talking about two different objects of the verb. Because in Cain, let's say, if it meant you're claiming maybe it was only Mazir on HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly because you're saying it's Kodesh. But if that were the case, then why is the verb lo tekalel? What is the lo tekalel? If it would have said Elohim lo takel, would that not be enough of an azara for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Because lo takel means not to make it less. So that's really the same idea as takel is kalon, right? We talk about davar sheyesh lo kalon. It's something that is insulting. It's shameful. So over here, to be makel, the shame, meaning the shame Hashem, not the shame of shame in English. So to shame the shame would be actually lo takel. If you have to put in this extra lamed, so then it's broadening the verb to be able to be referring to two objects. One of the objects would have been sufficient to say lo takel. And the other is saying simple nature of klala, and that would be the reference to the judge. So it would be including my lo tekalel. What do we need two lamets for? Shema mina, tarate. And so from this, we can derive that there is, in fact, an extra object to the verb. And now, calling upon our missing Sir Richard, got away with murder this morning, telling you we're going to have to cut his salary. Oh, Sir Richard! Ah. Lovely, lovely. We've been missing that this morning. The next case. Okay, better late than ever. So, we've talked about Avodah Zarah, and we've talked about all of those elements that were part and associated with Avodah Zarah, like the Megadef, and like the Maisa Oviyadoni, and like the Nichush, and like the Ma'onen, and all of the things we discussed yesterday. We moved on to Chilol Shabbos, went from there to the Mekalal Avi V'Imai, and now we get to the case of Na'ara HaMa'orasa. So remember that we have a special halacha. Normally, we treat adultery as a chiyuv of chenek, which, according to the way our Mishnah has it, is the least of the arba mitot beit din. And in this case, it says in a special case, remember we have two special cases. One was the special case of bat kohen ki techel is bat ish kohen ki techel is not the et avia hi mechalelet ba'esh tisaref. That was one special case. And then we have this other special case of Haba al Na'araha Amorasa. We had a lot of discussions before about the interrelationship between these two dinim with the machlokasin about what exactly is the case of Bat Kohen. So let's start with the case of Haba al Na'araha Amorasa. Now, you're not chayev the special din of skila. Remember, the point of the Mishnah is to list the niskolim. The only time that a Bas Yisrael would be chayev anything other than the chayev of chenek would require three particular conditions to be met. So A, she has to be a na'ara. So a na'ara is that she's between the ages of 12 and 12 and a half, assuming that she actually was pubescent at 12. That's A. B, she needs to be a virgin, a betula, at the time that you violated her. And what's more, she needs to be a ma'orasa. So she needs to be in a state of erusin specifically. So that means that kedushin was given to her, but she never went to the chuppah. And that includes a subcategory, which basically, we can call a fourth requirement. She has to still be beveit aviha. Now, we're going to see what that means is that even if she never got to the chuppah, but the father has handed her over to the entourage, which is now bringing her to the chuppah, that's already no longer a na'ara hama'urasa. And we're going to be talking about that later on in the Gemara. So let's call it four requirements. She needs to be a Na'ara. Now, it's not clear what that means. She needs to be a Na'ara, but what? But not a Ketana? But not a Bogeret? What is that coming to tell me? Any other state? So in other words, there's a six-month window for the holding of Na'ara Murasa? We'll see. She has to be a Betula. Also, that's not clear. Is a Betula, is that a physical state? Or is that a halachic state? Remember, we found all of the issues that people take for physical things are actually defined by the Torah in a specific way. So is it that the Torah defines her as a betula, or is it that she is really a betula? So we've seen this throughout. The Torah defines intercourse, not you define intercourse, which allows us to expand it to the din of ma'are, let's say. The Torah defines genitals, not you define genitals. So therefore, less than 9 years of age for a male, he doesn't have genitals. A less than 3-year-old for a female, she doesn't have genitals. So obviously, you cannot possibly violate her. The din is that bitulah also may have a technical definition, which is that no one has had sexual relations with her. But that does not necessarily mean that she has to have a hymen in place. That's the point of the bitulah. Maybe she could be physically a bitulah and still be a bu'ulah, because there are two ways that you can avoid breaking a hymen, obviously, by anal intercourse or by carefully climbing around the bitulim. Shmuel said, I'm such a bookie, he was a doctor, I could easily sleep multiple times with a woman and never cause her to be physically not a bitulah. So we're going to have to define what bitulah means. Ma'orasa vehi bebeit aviyah, again, is giving us a very special definition of what ma'orasa means. Apparently, it's not just that she only had kedushin and didn't go to the chuppah, because there seems here to be a midway between an arusa and a, we can't call her ba'ula, but a nesua. Now, this leads us to the question. If two men sleep with this woman, so the first one is going to be chayav skila, because only the first one is sleeping with a virgin. The second one is going to be chayav chenek, like all of the cases of adultery, other than this special case and the special case of the bas kohen. Tanur Rabbanan, when it says na'ara in the pasuk, it comes to tell me not a bogeret. She cannot be over the age of na'arut. So once she's 12 and a half, she's not included. It's interesting, because it doesn't say anything about a katana here. A betulah. Betulah means someone who never had sexual relationships. Velo bu'ulah. A ma'oratsa means she's not fully married. She's not a nesu'ah. And beit aviyah excludes prat l'shemasar ha'av l'shluchei ha'ba'al. So if the father has already given her over to the entourage that brings her to the chuppah and to her husband's home, then she is no longer included in the special case of the chiyuv of skila. So let's go through these one by one. Because if we understand that na'ara means only a na'ara, and that would seem to mean that if she is a ktana, that she would also be put. That's what the Mishnah sounded like. Omer Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, well, that would be true. But would only be true according to Rabbi Meir. But the Chachamim say that Na'ara HaMa'orasa does not mean a Na'ara and not a Ketana. A Na'ara Ma'orasa means anyone beneath the age of 12 and a half. So she's still a Na'ara, but if she's a Ketana, she would also be included. Now, this all comes down to the famous machloket that we had between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim about the chiyuv of paying the 50 shekel on rape. There has nothing to do with the marriage issue. There we're talking about a pnuya. And so when it says over there, v'natana isha shochev ima la'aviya na'ara 50 kasev, so over there the chachomim say, when it says aviya na'ara, it doesn't mean a na'ara v'lo haktana. It means a na'ara v'lo habogeret. And according to Rabbi Meir, no. If it's a ketana, it's not a na'ara. If it's a bogeret, it's not a na'ara. So this is basically the same machlokas that we have over here. And if it says that you're not chayev skila, if she's not a na'ara, then that would be true, aliba de Rabbi Meir. Because it's saying if she's a ketana, you wouldn't be including it. Om Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Zudei v'Rabbi Meir. Avo chachamim omrim, a na'ara ma'urasa, means even a ktana. Omer le Rav Acha midiftel Ravina, what makes you say that? I don't understand where you see in the Mishnah that the Mishnah has to mean that it's only if she's a na'ara, but l'me'ute ktana also is included in that. Maybe it's going according to the Rabbanan. And when it says na'ara, look, I mean, it's that way in the Pasuk, for heaven's sake. So it says na'ara. The Rabbanan say, but Na'ara includes Ketana. So maybe the Mishnah is only coming to say Na'ara and not a Bogeret. But I mean, if she's a Ketana, according to Chachamim, that's included as it is in the Pasuk in the word Nara. Omar Leh said, Ravina to Rav Chaim Difti, you don't understand where we were medayik it from, I see. You think we just pulled that out of a hat. How about learning how to read a Mishnah properly, okay? The Mishnah says, Eino chayav, ad shetehe nara betula maorasa. Now, if you were right, okay, what should it say? It should say, Eino chayav, ela al nara betula maorasa. You see the difference? Maybe you didn't even notice the difference. Maybe you don't hear what I'm saying. These are two totally different statements. One of them uses the word until. What do you mean until? Until means that she has to be old enough to have entered until she's old enough to become a Nara, you see? If what you meant, genius, right? If what you meant was that the Nara includes the Ketana, so then say, you're only Chayev if she is a Nara Betula Morasa, but you don't say that. You said, you're only Chayev when she's a Nara. Oh, big difference between if and when, buddy. And therefore, it's clear. Vitulo Mina, don't argue with me. If you don't hear this, go back to kindergarten. There's nothing further to discuss. This is it. This is how to read the Mishnah. Okay, so then that would mean that the Mishnah is only going Aliba Rebbe Meir, and you would be putter in the event that she was a Ketana. That's what we're coming out with. Boimine Rebbe Yaakov Bar Ini Mirab. So according to Rebbe Meir, so what is the din of someone who actually would sleep with a Ketana Ma'orasa? Is Rebbe Meir saying that a Ketana Ma'orasa is not Mechayev you as an Eishes Ish? Or is he simply saying she's not Mechayev you Skila? Legamre Mamitle? Is it that there is no Chia for adultery if she's a Ketana? Or is, no, it's a regular adultery, but it's only the Chia of a, the same as any other adultery, is only Chenek, and it's only being the Mayat Yumiskila. Omar Leh, so Rav said it's only reasonable that it's Biskila, that it's Mamayat Leh. Because all we're saying is that she's not Mukhuyevet Skila here. Why would you say that there wouldn't be any Chiev at all? Ah, I knew you were going to say that, said Rabbi Yaakov Bar Ini. But then how do you explain the Pasuk? The Pasuk says, Umetu gam shnehem. Now, the Pasuk seems to be saying that if you're talking about adultery, there it says, Ki yimatzei ish shochev im isha b'ulat baal. So you find somebody who is sleeping with a woman who is married to another person, Umetu gam shnehem. Now, what is that supposed to mean? Umetu gam shnehem. Isn't that essentially comparing both partners in adultery? And it's telling you, Achiu shnehem shavim. They have to both be chayev the same way. And since she's a ketana, so therefore you can't be mechayev her, so then that would mean that her male partner, you cannot be mechayev, because it's not going to be gam shnehem. That's a pretty strong proof. So why do you say that she would be Ptura, but he would be Chayev? Powerful argument here. And it was powerful enough to shut Rav, and he had nothing to answer. Shusik Rav. This is bad news. Omar Shmuel, I understand. Why didn't Rav? Rav had a very simple comeback. Rav should have said, it says, in another case, it says, bedafka, not like that. It says, umet ha'ish asher shachav ima levado. So, okay, look, it's true that that's talking about a case of rape, right? There it's talking about im besadeh, imtza ish atanara ma'orasa. So then the nara, don't do anything to the Nara because she was raped, and only Meta Isha Sheshachavim Alevado. But it does say over there that there's a Chiev Levado, him and only him, on the male partner and not on her. So obviously the Torah is not Mechayev only cases where both partners would be Chayev in cases of adultery. if for any reason the one partner is potter, in this case she's potter because she was raped, in the other case she's ptura because she's a ktana. But the bottom line is, the Torah says that you can have adultery and only the male is going to be subject to the consequences, right? So then that's all that Rav would have needed to say? Interesting. It's actually a fascinating machlokas tanoim. The pasuk says, take a look at this machlokas in the Braita. Umeitu gam shnehem. Okay, so that's mashma achiyu shnehem shavim divi Rabbi Yoshia, which is exactly what Rabbi Yaakov Bar Adda had said to Rav, precisely. And this is Rabbi Yoshia's approach. And then Rabbi Yonatan's approach is umeita isha sher shachav ima levado, which is essentially Rav's approach, which Shmuel said he should have said. And this is Gufa, the question of the pasuk. Now, once we know that there are two shitot, let's see how each one of them would explain the pasuk of the other. So, let's take a look at Rabbi Yonasan. So, how does Rabbi Yonasan understand umeitu gam shnehem if he's being dorish ima levado? Levado is saying only one. But so, I mean, we've got a clear-cut pasuk that says only both. So how does he explain that? Omar Rava, he says that that is lemeute ma'aseh chidudim. Gam Shnehem doesn't refer to the Misa. Gam Shnehem refers to the definition of adultery. So Gam Shnehem has to mean that there was mutual satisfaction. In the event that we're talking about only ma'aseh chidudim, ma'aseh chidudim means just having fun. So he wants to rub himself against her breasts, whatever, that's lots of fun. But she doesn't actually have any chance of climaxing through that kind of thing. So therefore, it's not a case of gam shnehem. They're not both involved to the same extent in the sexual stimulation. That's what it's coming to tell me. And therefore, it doesn't mean anything about the Misa. That's how Rabbi Yonasan explains it. So that's a good point. Who's to say that gam shnehem means meitu gam shnehem? Maybe it means meitu in a case where there was gam shnehem. Fascinating difference. So what does Rabbi Yoshia do about that? Rabbi Yoshia says, I don't understand. I need a pasuk to tell me ma'aseh chidudim is not considered to be intercourse? What, are you crazy? What is this, some kind of Christian church over here? So, oh, you don't like it because it seems too sexy for you. This is your problem. The Torah has clearly defined the nature of intercourse, and now you're saying, let's include everything. What's the matter with you? I don't need a pasuk to tell me that's nothing. Ma'aseh chidudim. Lav klumi. What, next we're going to put cameras in bathrooms? I mean, it's ridiculous. Of course there's no chiyuv for ma'aseh chidudim. So therefore, the din of Gam Shnehem has got to be referring to the Misa of Gam Shnehem. Therefore, I say, unless both are Chayev, so then neither are Chayev. Kidatanya. Oh, sorry. So what does he do, rather? Rabbi Yoshia, what does he do with the other pasuk that says Livado, only the one who, the male? In that case, of course, the pasuk is referring to the case of rape, but lamaisa is a general terminology. It can't be coming to tell me just about the case of rape, because it said beferish over there, lenara lo ta'aseh davar. We know that it can't be telling me that it's here in order to say that the nara is ptura. So what does he do with the levado as a general principle? Ah, he says there is a general principle where it's levado, but it teaches us an amazing new chiddush. And therefore, its chiddush was that there's a time where only one of the men who end up in this gang sex is going to be chayev, and the other ones will be potter, even though you would think that they would also be chayev. What would be that case? So let's say you have a nara, hamu'urasa, and you've got these 10 guys that are all having fun with this nara hamu'urasa, and they all sleep with her, but she is still and a betula. So maybe they all were Biashalokidarka. They're all going to be chayev skila taina, the Tanakama. Whereas Rebbe says, no, only the first one will be chayev skila. The rest of them, even though she is still physically a betula, the rest of them are only going to be chayev chenek, And the mucker of this halacha is livado, meaning there's a case where you could have 10 people doing exactly the same thing, and only the first one, livado, will be the one that's chayev skila, and everyone else will be chayev chenek, like a normal case of adultery. So that means that the Torah is now giving us a new definition of the concept of betula. A betula, this we find also, remember, the betula v'ish lo yeda'a by Rivka, the same idea, right? That she was not only betula, as Rashi puts it, mimokom betulim, but ish lo yeda'a at all, even mimokom acher. So we talk about here, the actual word betula ends up meaning a betula that has not had sexual relations. It has nothing to do with her physical status of betula. That's sort of a metaphor for innocence, so to speak. So she's virginess. That's the idea. And all of them, therefore, would only be chayav chenek except for the first one. Now, it's interesting that we have a something of a very related drasha with the case of the Bat Kohen. It's fascinating because we only have two cases where there's this unique, as Rabbi Shmuel pointed out before, where there's this unique case among all of the general set of adultery. So we have two separate cases that deviate from the norm. One of them is the Nara Murasa, who's the Bas Yisrael, and the other one is a Bat Kohen Ki Techel Liznot. And that's what caused us to have all of that confusion. Are the two departures from the norm, are they considered to be the same type of departure? Is it, was a different thing? That's the question. So the Bat Kohen, did that include a Nisua Bat Kohen? Did it also mean only a Murasa Bat Kohen? You remember that whole machlokas that we had here. So we have in the Braita also an associated kind of drush. Ubat ish kohen ki techel liznot. So if she's michalel through doing adultery, so et avia hi michalel et esh tisarev. So Rebbe says something that is very unclear. Rebbe says techel doesn't only mean chilul, it means beginning, techila. So it means beginning. We're going to ask in a moment, what does he mean? V'cheni hu omer, and he brings a riot to this from the fact that it says, umeita ish asher shachav ima levado. What? What in the world is he trying to say? Maika omer. Omer v'una bereder of Yeshua. Well, apparently, Rebbe agrees with Rabbi Shmuel that we had before, and he says that, look, a bat kohen, who is an arusa, she was given this very special din of be'esh tisarev. But a regular nisua bat kohen is not given the special chiyav. And because of that, the dinim of na'ara me'urasa is essentially being applied here to a Bat Kohen in a different way. So by a Bat Yisrael, we were talking about Skila, and to a Bat Kohen, we're talking about an extra Chiev, because according to the Mandi Omar, we don't paskin that way, but according to the Mandi Omar, that Sreifa is Chamura. So we're saying, if she would have been a Bat Yisrael in the case of an Arama Urasa, so she would have been Chayevet Skila. But in this case, because she is so holy that she's a Bat Kohen, so she's Chayevet even Sreifa. Okay, so Rav, basically, Rebbe is apparently following that Shita, says Rav Huna Beredu Rabbi Yeshua. And the only time that a Bat Kohen is Chayevet Sreifa is in a case where she's a Nara Mu'urasa, and not where she's a Nisua. And therefore, Hachi Ka'amar, what Rebbe was trying to say was, Techel is not means Techila. So it means, this is the first time that she actually had any type of sexual relations. Ah, so in other words, she's a Betula, is what you're saying. So in other words, Rebbe is trying to say, Techel has a double meaning. It means the first time. So if this was the first time, and instead of sleeping with her husband, she's sleeping with this guy, okay, so then that means she's an arusa. And someone else is the one who now for the first time sleeps with her, then and only then she's besreifa. And anybody Any other case would be any normal din of adultery. So it would be chenek. And therefore, she has the same din as the Bas Yisrael. And what is the next piece that Rebbe said? That didn't make any sense. He said, V'chein, umei ta'ish asher shachavim alavado. What does that have to do with this? No, it means exactly that. In other words, in the same way, just like over there, it was talking about the first one, ki asam. Ma hatam b'tchilat k'bi'a k'mishtoi k'ra. So over there also, it meant only the first one, the one who was the person who made her a non-betula, even though she is still a betula. So the same way it meant over there, the first one, here too, it means the first one. So it's pointing out the interesting similarity that in the same way that a Nara Hamurasa Bas Yisrael has a special chiyuv of skila, but it's only the first one, so too over here, it's a special sreifa, but it's only the first one, meaning that she was an arusa. Omale Rav Bibi Bar Abaye, that's not how I was taught, okay? My Rebbe didn't teach me that that's what Rebbe was trying to say. Who's his Rebbe? Rav Yosef. Okay, so how exactly did Rav Yosef understand it? So Rav Yosef understood it like this, that Rebbe actually is going Aliyah B'Rebbe Rebbe Meir. And there's a completely different question. The question over here is, Ki Techel is noted Avia Hi Michalelet. What was the first stage of her being Michalelet her Kuhuna? That was the point. So if she had already been niseit le'echad min ha'psulim, let's say she married somebody, and that somebody was a surah to her, right? So let's say it's a mamzer, or it's a person who would be mechalal her. Let's say he's a halal. There's no iser in marrying a halal, but lamaisa would have been mechalal her from being able to marry a kohen and so on. So that's what it means. Then she's not considered to be a super-duper bat kohen because she's already was mechalelet herself. That's what he means when he says tchila. Im tchilat achalata, not the first time that she had sexual relations, the first time that she went down in her madrega from being a super-duper bat kohen, and that's the beginning of her chilo. So if the beginning of her chilul comes about because of this act of adultery, so then, and only then, she's b'sreifa. But any of the other cases where she was already psula because of relations to a cholol, let's say, so then she would just be a regular eshes ish b'chenek. And what did Rebbe mean then? How do you explain the thing from the pasuk? The pasuk of meis ha'ish asher shachavito levado. What does that have to do with that? I mean, if it was talking about the first one to have relations with her, I'd understand, but this has nothing to do with that. This has only to do with the first thing that makes her less than a full bat kohen who can marry a kohen and so on. So what is Rebbe talking about? No, your approach is terrible, because how do you explain the v'chein? No, I don't think it's a serious point. I think that v'chein, Rebbe's just pointing out that the way to remember the meaning that techel means beginnings is that there's another pasuk that also where somebody, it talks about only beginnings. So this is her initiation, so to speak. So the initiation into chilul or the initiation into sex, whatever, he's just showing you. He doesn't mean that it's an actual proof to anything. He's just saying in the same way we talk about the onset of the problem, initiating her into psul is the same as initiating her into sex. That's the point. And it's mer li a simen. Simana ba'alma, that's all that you're meant to see it as. Okay, this is Rav Yosef's approach. Wonderful.